set the tone.
Welcome to another episode of the News You Can Use podcast. My name is Frenchier Gardner, and we are live in this bitch today. What? We at Dallas On Air, and we're downtown Dallas. We have a business spotlight to talk to. It's going to be deep. I'm geeked. I haven't been in a podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Probably sorry about that.
Yeah, you good?
Let me bring that close to me. How about now?
Yeah, perfect.
So welcome to another episode of the News You Can Use podcast. I am geeked. We're live. I haven't podcast live at a studio professionally in 5 years since the first episode was made. So we're just geeked to be here in Dallas On Air in downtown Dallas speaking to a local business owner. And so I want to thank Dallas On Air. I want to thank Audrey for the referral. I want to say thank you for everybody tuning in to a News You Can Use podcast. You can tap into the podcast on Spotify to watch the full episode. You can follow us and subscribe to us on YouTube. Now we have Twitch TV, Instagram, Facebook, and you want to leave us a review. You want to hit the bell so you can follow us. Tap in. And we're going to get to it. So today, our business spotlight is Dr. George Lewis. And let's see. Dr. George Lewis serves our military veterans over at the VA, where he practices as a clinical pharmacist. After stops in Houston and Chicago, respectively, for undergrad and graduate school, he returns to his hometown of Dallas, Texas, where he continues to have an impact on his community. He also serves as the director of advertising for a leading nonprofit over at Toast for Charity and leads the program Professionals on the Block. He is also the CEO of GIA Enterprises. He has recently published his second book titled The Burden of Masculinity, which will be available at the beginning of May. He is here today to discuss said book and the perspective that men should take when faced with the challenges of the burden of masculinity. Okay, welcome, Dr. George.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that introduction. I am loving this already. I'm loving the energy. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'm so grateful that you're here with us. Mm-hmm. We just met recently at the Dallas Junior Chamber of Commerce Women in mm-hmm. Business Networking Mixer on Lord Greenville. Shout out to James for the event, and glad I was able to connect with you. Mm-hmm. So I read your bio. Give us some historical background of who you are. Well, where are you from? Where are you at? And, well, obviously we know where you're at. But since you're here in Dallas. Give us some history about who you are.
Man, so I guess we'll start it off from the beginning, man. You know, my family's originally from East Texas.
Okay.
For the most part, all down in Port Arthur, Beaumont, Port Arthur, right there on that Texas-Louisiana border. I had the pleasure of growing up here in Dallas just because my mom wanted to escape from the small town life and come up to the big city.
Yes.
Ended up growing up in North Dallas, went to Lake Highlands High School, and from there I started my journey into a career into the field of healthcare, where I eventually ended up ended up going down to Houston at Texas Southern University.
Yes.
Did my four/five years down there. Ended up pledging a fraternity. So I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Okay.
From there.
Ski Phi.
Yes, man. From there, man, went up to Chicago to the number two pharmacy school in the country over at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And aside from that, man, I look at my entire journey and I think about everything that's happened to me. And I know that there's a lot of lessons that I learned along the way. So I find a passion in wanting to come back and give that information back and to be of service, especially to my guys, because I see a lot of my guys out here struggling. A lot of my guys struggling to make that transition from like boyhood to manhood. Some issues that even I struggle with myself, just growing up in a single parent household. While I'm very grateful that I did have a very active father, and I definitely had some strong men in my family on both sides in terms of uncles and grandfathers, there were still some things that I did understand growing up in a lower socioeconomic status here in the Dallas area. And if I could do anything, I want to make sure that some of the lessons that I learned along the way, I can give those back to some of my brothers and help them kind of make the transition to kind of where I am now.
I love that. I love the whole point of you just wanting to give back.
You know? Absolutely.
I love that. And I do want to make a point to say, because this is, like, all of this is new to me right now. You can call in. You can call in and ask questions of our guests and of me, live call in. The number is 469-708-8609. So you can call in and talk to us and get engaged. So call in, 469-708-8609. So, George, dive deep into this book, this The Burden of Masculinity. What can you even just express to us, what is the burden of masculinity?
Oh, man. So it's actually a great question. I love to kind of start off there because it really does build the framework for everything else. So, like, for me personally, man, I grew up and I grew up and I saw, like, the relationship dynamics with the men and the women in my family, where the men always worked, always provided a stable foundation. And from there, like, with that stability, the women were able to go out and start their own businesses, go out and own daycares, go out and start, get our family heavily invested into real estate.
Okay.
While a lot of the men provided that solid foundation. And growing up, I would hear my uncles and hear my grandfather and hear my father always preaching, like, about why it's important for a man to get up and go do something every single day, right? That, you know, you have to be the umbrella that covers everybody.
Yes.
And that to allow everybody else to be able to relax. And you don't really get it when you're still a boy and you're under other men's umbrella being covered. Mm-hmm. But as you make that transition to becoming a man and you have to find a way to provide your own umbrella to cover over other individuals, then you start being faced with a lot of questions. And for me, it's like I had that covering for a good period. Mm-hmm. And then as I was preparing to graduate from undergrad, unfortunately in my family, man, a lot of the men started to pass away.
Yes, and my condolences to you.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I know how that is.
Yeah, and it became a very interesting transition for me, because then it was like, oh, like, I'm next up, and I wasn't sure if I was 100% ready for that responsibility.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, I'm like, you're the baby boy of the family, but you're also the one that people are looking at to see, like, hey, who's going to carry that torch next? Who's going to keep these values that these men had and keep them going in the family? And who's going to be the next one to step up? Mm-hmm. And it was definitely some challenging times. So with that being said, man, just to kind of bring it back, man, I remember them saying those types of things and giving me those bits of wisdom. And then I want to say the first time I heard what they said expressed in a different way, I was actually watching the comedian Chris Rock.
In one of his
specials. And in his specials, he defines it somewhat like this, quote unquote, the burden of masculinity, that Women, children, and pets may be loved unconditionally, but men will only be loved under the condition that they produce and provide service and value.
Mm.
Now, while we may know that that statement may not be entirely true, because of course women have their own set of circumstances and issues in terms of making sure that they are loved unconditionally, right? And
right.
Like in certain conditions that women may feel that they have to meet so that they can be seen, they can be viewed. Men also have their own set of standards, if it's just societal expectations and or family expectations of we need you to do this or you may begin to feel invisible.
Yes.
And as I talk to as I've talked to some men who have gotten older, mentors, older family members, and you can see that that genuinely becomes a worry of, you know, that midlife crisis for men gets real when they really start to feel for the first time like people are not seeing me and noticing me, and I'm not 100% sure how to provide value as a man. Because providing value as a boy, it could be something as simple as, oh, how do I become popular? How do I have a nice this or a nice that or a pretty girl?
Yes.
None of that applies to manhood. None of that means anything when we start talking about how do you provide service and value to your community and to those around you as a man? And then we started to dive down into that discussion. And it really started off as a discussion amongst me, some of my guys, some of my frat brothers, some of the men in my family.
Yes.
About like that transition and like what's happening. Like what is happening? Like why do we have such a crisis of men tapping out and quitting on life? And we see it, right?
Right.
And I think, man, one of my guys, he kind of explained it to me like this. He is like, under quote-unquote theory, right? It's all theory, right?
Yes.
Of women and children being unconditionally loved, right? A boy goes from being in that children category of unconditionally loved to being a man who's loved under certain conditions. And sometimes nobody tells you as a male when that transition is going to happen.
Mm.
It just kind of punches you in the face.
Mm.
And then you're sitting there and it's like, oh, I used to be able to make these kind of mistakes, but now people looking at me different when I make these same mistakes. I used to be able to play like this and not take my responsibilities as serious, but now people are looking like, hold on, like can we trust you, right? And then it's like from there I started to know, so like, oh, a lot of men tap out because they don't get it, and they're still trying to hold on to certain, almost like certain hoop dreams in some realities or some of the boyish dreams, which there's nothing wrong with that. But what you have to do is you have to understand, like, how do you create a framework for building a successful life and making sure that you're capable of the responsibility of having other people under your umbrella? Like, that's a real thing. Like, people are depending on us as men.
Right.
Our women are getting tired. Our children need the structure.
Yes.
And it's like there's nobody else who's going to step in and feel that role. Nobody else can feel that role, especially in the black community, except us.
Right.
So that's kind of where the whole theory started in terms of the burden of masculinity.
That was well said, let me say, first of all. And so what I heard was there is no rites of passage.
Absolutely.
For the boys moving, and there's not really one for women either, really. Mm-hmm. Set up for black women, but you know, we and there's some spaces, you know, we built for that, but traditionally, like you said, there's for boys. Mm-hmm. Black boys, there isn't really a rites of passage for you moving from that, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional love to now you got responsibilities.
You got responsibilities and conditions.
You might not get no love.
You probably
ain't get no love.
You will feel invisible. In some cases, they'll even continue to treat you like a boy. And that's nothing that no man wants. And at the end of the day, you want the respect that comes along with being a man. But there's a lot that comes with earning that respect. And you have to have somebody tell it to you.
Definitely. Where are we going to be able to get the book from in May?
It's definitely going to be on Amazon, first place. Probably just Amazon for the most part. I'll probably end up dropping a link somewhere in my bio on Instagram.
Okay.
And then we'll just go from there.
You know,
like my biggest thing is just to like, honestly, I'll give the book away. Like, truth be told, like I do pretty well for myself over at the VA as a clinical pharmacist.
Yes.
It's more about just passing the information out there. And if I could just help somebody have that shift in terms of their perspective, that paradigm shift in terms of the way that they view themselves and view the world, that's ultimately the goal.
You're definitely going to impact people for sure with this book. Just with the very sense of being able to break it down, because what the psychologist says is you have to identify the problem first. Mm-hmm. And so by you identifying the problem, you've already blown up the spot. Because if we're not identifying the problem, then how are we going to get to the solution?
True.
So what do you propose is the solution? Not necessarily a solution, but what are your steps? What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I think sometimes we gotta take it back to the Bible and just really discuss what does it mean to put away boyish things and put away a boyish mind frame, and what does it mean to really step into that role of being a man? Like, how do you define that?
How would you define that?
I mean, ultimately, I'm looking at someone who's understanding the responsibility of taking care of others and providing order and structure to the environment. Because when men are not present, things do become chaotic.
It does.
And sometimes we understand it when we see it, the presence that a strong, good man can have to just calm any quarrel. You know, we notice it when we see it, and we see a strong man who, with just a few words and a presence, can get a child in line.
Oh, definitely.
Not even having to raise his voice or put his hands on the child at all, but just his presence. Stop. Mm-hmm. Go sit down.
Mm-hmm.
We get it. We get that, right? In terms of the solution for some of our guys, I think it can start with understanding that if you're doing this thing called manhood correctly, you should feel a little stress, and that's okay. You should feel some pressure, and that's okay. You should feel some weight on your shoulders if you're doing this correctly. If you're really, really, really picking up that responsibility. And those things that you feel internally as a man, it's okay. Then from there, talking about building out support systems amongst other men.
Yes.
I have.
That's so needed.
It is. So I have my old heads who I lean on, who are in their 50s and 60s and 40s. Mm-hmm. I also have my young boys who kind of keep me up on what's going on around me, who are either in high school, college, and in their 20s.
Okay.
So it's having that vast array that you can lean on in either direction in terms of gathering new information or leaning on old wisdom.
So I know you're an alpha, mm-hmm. but are there, do y'all have programs? Because I know when I was coming up at SMU, my nephew was part of the Kappa Leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
And so does your fraternity, or I don't know if you're part of the local fraternity, but does the local fraternity have mentoring programs, or is there a specific mentoring program that we could start tapping into, or any resources that you would like to throw out there as far as support for men, black men?
In terms of support for black men, man, that becomes the fraternity as a whole, right, becomes a safe haven for men. And
definitely.
It should be, right?
Yes.
And that's really what it should be. You know, iron sharpens iron. We should be able to lean on our brothers at all times. They should be able to call us out when we're not, living up to the standards and being, and carrying our weight.
Definitely.
So we definitely that's definitely just part of being a part of the brotherhood. In terms of bringing young boys up, I mean, there's definitely, like, depending on what chapters you're looking at, there's programs all over the place for the most part.
Yes.
I definitely know of the one that was started over at my chapter, which is called A Brother's Keeper, which ended up becoming one of the national programs, and we definitely love pushing that. But other than that, I would like to say that a lot of the help that we're going to need as a whole, as a community, has to extend, like, just beyond just, like, the fraternities and the sororities, because the fraternities and sororities do a great job. Like, as much criticism as they get, we all know that when we join these organizations that they help grow us in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, most definitely.
Most definitely, right?
Right.
You know, and they matured us and gave us networks and gave us friendships and gave us lifelong bonds. But there's a lot of people who are not in our organizations.
Right.
Who have nothing to lean on. And as a community, those individuals still need something to be a part of.
Definitely. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. We all need support. We're not islands. It really takes a village to hold all of our hands. It's mm-hmm. not even, to me, it's not even just children. All of us need a village.
We do.
And so I want to switch topics to, you have a program you told me that you started up, that you took back to your high school. And I just want to just drop that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's actually two programs. The first one was, I started off with a pharmacy technician program, right, just to get our kids certified as pharmacy technicians before they graduate high school, for any child at that high school that wants to take a career, a pathway in healthcare.
Yes.
Because understanding medicine, no matter what field, physician, pharmacist, nurse, dentist, whatever, understanding medicine is going to help. The second program is called Professionals on the Block.
Okay.
And that's partnered up with Toast for Charity, where we gather the young professionals all over Dallas, and it's a ton of us. I'm almost shocked at, like, how many people signed up, honestly.
Nice.
But we paired them up with the kids at the high schools, mm-hmm. and give them mentors for certain career paths and career tracks. So if we have a high school student who wants to be a dentist, we're partnering you up with a dentist in the city who's in their early 30s, who's still young and relatable, who you can learn with, but who you can learn from, and who can also be like a big brother or a big sister to you. Same mm-hmm. thing with other career paths for with physicians, pharmacists, and nurses across the board.
And is this at a particular high school?
Yeah, man. So I attended Lake Highlands High School.
Yes.
For high school, but I actually ended up graduating from Evolution Academy Charter School.
Okay, where's that at?
That's over in Richardson, Texas.
Okay.
So it's not that much further up the road from Lake Highlands. It's always, a lot of people always ask, like, how did I end up going from high school to a charter school? And they're always surprised to find out that, yes, Dr. Lewis failed the 10th grade back in the day, that I was getting into some trouble running across Dallas.
As life has.
And I needed to play some catch up, you
yeah.
know, and I eventually pulled it together.
Good.
And got the support. That's why I love going back to that school,
because mm-hmm.
it really kind of, it gave me a chance to, like, find my footing again.
I love that. So I want to know, how do you, I like to ask business owners this. How do you balance everything? How do you find the mental capacity, the self-care, the awareness to balance all of the things that you have going on and still think of self?
Honestly, my honest answer to that is, I've learned balance is a tricky word.
It's tricky.
I don't know if there really is, like, true balance, because I think you have to... I'm still young, and I'm still using every bit of the energy I have.
Yes.
So, like, and I'm just going at 100%.
Yes.
Right? It's like, unmarried, no kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I still have more flexibility.
A lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a lot of flexibility, you know. I have a lot of flexibility. So it's like, for me, I'm still just 100% on everything.
Okay.
I'm still like, I could give it my all. Of course, it just means, for me, giving it my all just means less parties, less social outings sometimes. Like, or if I go somewhere, I don't stay the whole time.
Okay.
I may leave early.
Okay.
And, but, like, just making sure that I wake up and I put systems and routines in place mm-hmm. for myself. Mm-hmm. Get an early start, wake up, probably about 4 a.m, start the spiritual routine, start taking care of myself, get the workout in, and keep a checklist of probably about 5 or 6 things that I want to do for the day.
Okay.
Make sure I knock out those 5 or 6. Everything else I do after that, you know, I just consider it a bonus.
I love that.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite part of this writing process of the this, because this is your second book,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't discuss your first book, but just what's been your favorite part of the process so far of this book?
The biggest thing I've learned about this is, like, my favorite part is really, like, just talking to the men. What I've learned is that there's a lot of men who are suffering in silence
mm.
and who needs to know that somebody wants to hear them.
Yes.
Just to get it out of their head, to get out of their own head, to be able to vent and have someone, something to talk to. And from there, you start to realize, like, and a lot of these are, like, really good guys. Like, really good guys who are so focused on trying to be good that they're not being as productive. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to, like, try to explain sometimes, like, I know you want to show up for people in this way, but you need to go build this part of your life out first.
Yes.
So, and then it's like, you know, being able to have those types of conversations and then seeing them put it into action and then seeing them be happy to, you know, to see that, oh, this is what it means. I get it. Like, it's that aha moment, you
yes.
know, that becomes, like, the best part.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Tell us how we can connect with you, Dr. George, your Instagram or whatever platforms you want to put out there. Tell us how we can stay connected to you and we can tap in. So when the book drops, we can be there.
Absolutely, man. We could definitely have a follow-up conversation on this one. But the best way to stay in contact with me is just Instagram. I don't do any other social media.
Okay, what's your Instagram?
I low-key be trying to keep a low profile in the city.
Oh, okay.
Even though people say they see me everywhere. but my Instagram is just, it's simple. Just G_LEWIS. No, I apologize. It's G_LEWIS_V. So it's just like my first initial, last name, underscore, and V.
Okay. V as in victory?
Yeah, V as in victory.
Okay.
Yeah, it was technically, I'm George Lewis V, so it's supposed to be my Roman numeral. But yeah, so it's just G_Lewis_V.
Okay, perfect.
And that's it.
All right. Our last segment of a News You Can Use podcast. I want you to drop some gems for any aspiring business owners or writers, mm-hmm. Authors. What 2 gems that you would tell them?
I mean, probably the first one is, like, we all have some form of value. We've all been through something. And it's never about, like, trying to change the world initially. It's about, like, who can you help within your circle of influence. So however big your circle of influence, just know that, like, there's somebody or someone around you who you could already be serving. And don't feel like you have to be this big-time person to start having an impact.
Mm.
You don't need other people behind you to start having an impact. You don't need organizations and things of that nature. You just have to start. Start doing something. And secondly, man, just also understanding that there is that success does have a blueprint, and that even boils down to, like, how to be a healthy, happy, and whole person. There's still a blueprint to that, and you have to go find that blueprint and do the work that's required in multiple areas. There's not just one area that you can be successful in and it's going to solve everything. You have to do the work in every area, you know, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, in terms of emotional intelligence, financially. Got to go get that bag. Like, I am not one of those who going to tell you you're going to be able to figure all this out with no money. Now, you right. got to. And sometimes that's really the biggest barrier. Mm-hmm. And I find out with my guys, it's like, man, your heart's in the right place. But, bro, I need you to go make this sacrifice. And sometimes the part that people don't want to hear, sometimes the sacrifice is really like a five-year journey. Mm. It's really a grind. It's really a marathon. That piece of building that solid financial foundation can genuinely require a 5-year sacrifice. And then from there, everything else can start growing. Then from there, everything else can start falling into place, because things do take resources. Like, we operate in a world and it's not free out here at all. Mm-mm. And inflation is crazy. Like, seriously. So, probably just those two things. Like, especially for my guys. Guys, go make the sacrifice. There is no quick fixes to this. There is no quick fixes. You may have to disappear for a couple years and be on the underground studying. Like, even me, after I got my doctorate, I probably still invested another $100,000 within myself and personal educations. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I needed to learn other things. And I had to go to rooms and shake hands, and it was a grind. Like, it was a grind. So that's what I always tell my guys, bro, go build that out. Like, stop trying to hold on to good if you really want to be great, and let it go. And go do the work, because it's going to take work. So.
Yes. You're absolutely right. It mm-hmm. does take the work. Got to do the work. Mm-hmm. Dr. George, I'm grateful that we got a chance to speak today.
Absolutely. I'm grateful, too.
Glad we met.
Absolutely.
And we're going to get the book.
Absolutely.
Once it drops in May. I thank all of you for watching us live today on the News You Can Use podcast. I want to shout out Audrey Hayes. Audrey Hayes for referring me to Jance, Dallas On Air. I want to thank our engineer Chris for being here. I want to thank all of you for tapping in to the podcast. Make sure that you, after you get off of the live, we're coming back. We have another business spotlight coming shortly. So tap in, stay connected with us right now, because in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to come back live with another business spotlight, Miss Gabrielle. But I do want to ask that you support the podcast. We are leveling up this year, and we need your support. So Cash App, we got Cash App, $BEANDUSLLC, as well as we got PayPal. We have Venmo. You can buy us a coffee at Frenchair. We also have a Patreon arts page that you support that we're starting to get back putting content on. We'll be at local events April 20th at the sunny South Dallas Food Park here at the South Dallas Cultural Center. We'll be there with our books and our art. And we'll be talking about the podcast, of course. And then on April 14th, your girl going to be walking the runway at the Fire and Ice fashion show at Lofty Spaces. So tap in, get your tickets, use our promo code FRENCHAIR. And as always, support our books. We have books, we have art, and, tap into a News You Can Use podcast. If you are a Black business owner or artist, and want to be a guest, please tap in, connect with us wherever you're watching right now. And we thank you. Peace.